The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 720. It's the Weekend Podcast. Right now I'm hitting the start button. We got 30 minutes to get this done. It's late Friday evening. Normally we record this sort of afternoon Friday, but due to Steve, why couldn't you do it? I couldn't do it because I was busy doing a podcast. Steve is now en route. Where are you en route to, Steve?
Hemel Hempstead.
Oh, sexy. The Hemel, the Hempstead. All right. Pete, where are you?
Deepest, darkest Surrey.
Well, what an international feel this podcast has, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm just outside Southampton. We're in Surrey.
Global. Hazelmere.
Look at that. Hazelmere. Near Southampton. Hemel Hempstead. Yeah, all right.
All the big capitals.
The rock and roll capitals of the UK, everyone. Yes, like I said, the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve here, and I'm very tired. Just as a matter of interest, what time do you get up in the morning, Pete and Stephen?
Around the hour of 7.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's five to eight, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I've recently changed mine, so I've been getting up at 7 o'clock recent, so yes, the same for me.
Why have you recently changed it? Is it because I said to you, how do you miss R&Ss?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's because I've got into a gym routine at the moment, and because I'm quite busy, I'm getting up earlier, working for a few hours, and then going to the gym at 10.
How does Jim feel about that?
Yeah.
He's all right about it, yeah.
So, Steve, why are you on the way to Hemel Hempstead, of all places? I don't think I've ever been to Hemel Hempstead. I wonder if you've got any listeners in Hemel Hempstead. What's it like?
It's a bit dull, to be honest.
It sounds it, doesn't it? Hemel Hempstead. Where are you from, Hemel Hempstead? Hemel Hempstead. It doesn't sound
sexy.
That's
where George Michael was from, wasn't it?
George Michael was from... Is that why you're going there? No, why are you going there then, Steve?
It's a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
No, I'm just staying with a friend tonight, but I'm working in London for a week.
London again, is it, Stephen? Oh, see, I'm working in London. Steve, yeah, are you sure it's London? Or you is that like last time you said Luton was London? Are you sure it's London, not Hemel Hempstead?
It's actually in the M25. It's actually London this time, yeah.
It's in the M25, all right.
Indian.
So this week, looking at stocks, I think there's one thing that I mean, have you seen the farce that is the drama that is CloudTag? Unbelievable, what's happening there?
Yes, I saw a bit of that today.
Steve, are you aware of CloudTag at all?
Have we talked about it on a previous podcast?
Well, that doesn't make anything. If we do, you don't know anything anyway. I talk about something they'll say on the same podcast, and 2 minutes later, you said you mentioned it. And I said, we just talked about that, Steve, 2 minutes ago. What's wrong with you? Yes, we have mentioned CloudTag. It's essentially a Fitbit sort of thing, and it's had a fanatical fan base that I've not seen for a long time. You know, every now and again, these stocks come up, and you know, a fan base of people are shareholders around it. That literally, you know, you can't sway them either way. They're just headstrong. They blink in vision that it will be, you know, the next global product. And, I can't seem to... regardless of what I think of it, I mean, I think what's happened today, they're Nomad, which is nominated advisor, which you need for AIM, has resigned, which is never good because, you can't trade shares. You'll be suspended after a while if you're going to Nomad. And, of course, they were suspended towards the end of the day on Friday. And so the share price was down like about 45% at one point. Car crash stuff. But it's a lesson, I think, regardless of whether you think it's an investment case or not. It's a lesson on never, you know, putting too much, never going over the top risk-wise. It's risk-rewards, you know, and managing your risk. Like I said, I've often said in the past, you know, there's not a lot of things you can control in the stock market. You know, there's a lot of things that happens way out of control. What you can control is risk. You know, the amount of money you put into a stock, that's completely up to you. And that's the only thing you can control. You know, you can't control the share price from day to day. You know, you can look at a company and expect it to be a good investment case mid to long term, but short term you can't, and you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, control what you can control. and that's the amount of money you put in. And I often suggest, you know, on the podcast, that try to stick with the rule of never going over 10% in any one stock, you know, because, you know, I see it with all different stocks, especially on social media, on Twitter, where people are completely obsessed with one stock. And it should never be like that. You know, you should always be prepared to change your mind if the story changes, you know, in some way, and not get sort of wrapped up in it, because there are plenty of things, plenty of ways to make money on you know, on AIM, and don't stick with one thing. It's nuts. I don't think someone was making it up, but I had someone saying they put their mortgage on it, pretty much remortgaged and put their money on it. It's probably someone messing around. But I know a lot of people are really overexposed in that stock, you know, and it's just a scary thing. I mean, if anything, I mean, hopefully no one goes bust from it. But if anything, you learn from this that, you know, never overexpose yourself in one stock, ever. It's a dangerous thing to do. Even, you know, I'm not talking about AIM here, but even big stocks, you know, okay, they can rebound. But we've seen plenty of big stocks of late, you know. I mean, you know, a couple of years back, Tesco, you know, you see RBS, all the banks and all that. So, you know, in any investment case, never overexpose yourself. It's not worth it. You know, you can get rich quick and get poor quick. So there's no point. Grow rich slowly is the answer. What do you reckon, Steve?
So it's bad news then.
Well, yeah, it's bad news for people holding stock. Yes, there were some people. There were some people though who had the 45% dropped, you know, on Friday. And jumped into CloudTag, you know, thinking there's going to be a massive bounce here. And I thought, really? You know, and if everyone assumes it's doomed. If it's not doomed, I did suggest, if it's not doomed and they suspended there towards the end of the day, if the reason why they suspended is because they just about announced a new Nomad, then it may bounce ferociously, you know? So, it's not the kind of investment. Talking about punts, and that's a punt, you know? Generally, 95% of my, I'd say, yeah, 95, 96% of my portfolio is
a punt.
It is a punt, yeah, absolute punt. I've got all my money in one stock. I'd say 95, 96% is probably, you know, probably more than that actually, is mid to long term investment cases, you know? Like they are smaller cap, they are quite risky, but I believe they could turn out to be 10 baggers. So. What's Steve, are you going through your glove compartment? What are you doing? Steve, are you looking for your map?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Steve?
There's a McDonald's wrapper on my floor.
What has bothered you, is it?
Well, I've got it now.
What was it? Wrapper? What was it? What was it? Big Mac wrapper or what?
It was a double cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's like I say, Big Mac comes in a cardboard box, doesn't it?
Steve is concentrating less than usual.
I know, unbelievable. So I did have a punt this week, actually, and I've been looking at it for a while. Do you know MySquare, MYSQ?
I've heard of it, yes.
Well, they do
a radio automation play out, don't they?
No, that's it's similar, isn't it?
That's MySpace.
That's MySpace, yeah. No. So MySquare, they've set up a social network and sort of payments system in Myanmar. Tell us about Myanmar, Steve. Just take us over to Myanmar for a little bit. Give us a brief, not too much detail, just a little bit. Go on, just tell us about it.
She's a lovely lady. Didn't call me back, though.
Hello, is that Myanmar? Yes, I'm Myanmar. I used to be called Burma. So Burma. You know, it was Burma, now it's called Myanmar. And Aung San Suu Kyi, you know, that it was ruled by the warlords, wasn't it, for a long time. But now it's opened up to, you know, to the West a little bit. It's become commercial rather than owned by junta, military junta there. And so, you know, it's become commercial. And so MySquare is the first social platform, you know, in that country. It's got a population of about 56 million. And they do games, you know, mobile games and all that stuff, and chat, my chat, my pay, an advertising platform. And they seem to be going quite well there. They've got about 7.5 million users registered. Their revenue last year was like, they only floated last year, but their revenue last year was like sort of close to 800,000. This year, I think it's been above a million and a half, maybe 2 million, close to 2 million. But they've done what's this convertible loan notes. Now, we all know about that. Peter, tell us what you know about convertible loan notes.
I don't know how to explain them.
Okay, we'll leave it to Steve. Steve!
Steve? He's gone to a door.
Convertible loan notes?
Oh, yeah.
So, Well, they're probably just notes converting it.
I love the way you just started there and just stopped. Oh.
Is it on my signal?
Essentially, it's about a company, if they want to raise money, like I said before, several ways a company can raise money. You know, they can go to if they've got revenue going in, they can get a bank loan, they can do it via equity issue, or they can do convertible loan notes. What? Wait, Steve, right, where are you?
Big Mac, please.
I've just turned up at my friend Dave's house.
Is it your friend Dave? Who's that? Dave what? Is that Dave?
Is it Dave that we know?
Is it Dave we know?
Hang on, I'm just trying to open the bin. All right, okay, there we go.
Is he in the bin, is he?
Yeah.
Steve got to stay at his friend Dave's house. Hey, Steve, when we asked about dating the other day, is this your new date?
Steve?
Are you talking to me now?
Yeah. Oh, God. Is there anyone else on the podcast called Steve? God. What a fight. Do you know what? I'm thinking 30 minutes is too long for this podcast now.
I understand.
Have you explained why you're on the phone? Have you just walked into your friend's house with a phone to your ear? Have you not explained why you're on the phone?
Just recording a podcast.
Yeah, we're just sort of recording. Yeah, I don't say a lot, so it's okay. I can just be quiet in the background. You just carry on chatting to me. I'll just do the podcast in the background. Yeah, put a telly on. I'm on telly with you. I don't know. I'll just, as long as I'm there, they don't mind. But I don't say anything.
This is the new level.
The first time I've done that.
Steve, Steve, are you having a conversation with Dave?
Well, this is what happens when you want to do the podcast when I'm not at home.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I've no idea. So convertible loan notes. Anyway, listen. So there's an. I'll try and crack on. Does Dave want to join in? Can you? Do you want to join this call? But anyway, so you've got an institution that will loan you money. So like £1 million. I'm quite distracted, to be honest.
What? He's whispering.
I'm doing a podcast. Yeah.
What? I should do the podcast.
Yeah, you'll have a pasty. Yeah. No, I just had McDonald's. That's fine though. If you're doing a pasty, I'll have one.
Yeah, no, I can't listen to two people at the same time.
Why did you even get out of the car and go to Dave's house? Why didn't you stay in the car and finish the podcast?
Dave would have been looking at it through the window. Steve is chatting, sitting there with a phone to his ear, not saying anything. So he's not talking. He's got a phone to his ear, but he's not talking. But Dave on.
2 seconds, I'll be back with you right now. Let me just find out the situation and I'll rejoin the podcast. Hang on. Okay, bye.
What's he doing? He's finding out the situation. He just got into his friend's house. He must know the situation. He's driven down to London or Hemstead to join his friend. And now he's saying, let me just find out the situation. I'll rejoin the podcast. He's got, do you know what? It's probably not Dave's house. It's probably a stranger.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's the wrong Dave.
Sorry, you're not Dave, my mate, are you? No. All right, sorry. Listen, I'll just find out the situation.
I'll put Dave into the sat nav and that's where I've ended up.
Steve, are you still there?
No, he's gone.
Oh, okay. Anyway, convertible loan notes. So essentially, these companies will loan money to, you know, MySquare, for example, and they had $1 million of convertible loan notes. Now, so there's obviously, you know, people don't loan money for nothing. Are we back on?
I'm back on now. I've got to get stuff out of my car, though, so I will be on in the background. I might be a little bit distracted.
As opposed to normal. You crack on, Steve. Cool.
It's all go today, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's very much stop-start. It's not all go. It's the opposite of all go.
Dave on the podcast as well.
Yeah, anyway, so what happens is, of course, so loan money, $1 million, for example, and so the convertible loans will pay back a certain amount of interest, you know, if they're redeemed at a certain time. But the company loaning the money, subscribing to the loan note. So the company will issue the loan note, like MySquare, to a company, and so they can choose to convert, that loan into shares.
Yes.
But, you know, for example, if it's paying like 10% or whatever, so they'll get, 1.1 share So what happens is, obviously, most of these companies don't have an interest in the company. They don't care about the company itself or the share price. All they want is return on their money. So they will sell, you know, their shares straight away. So it's always, you know, a huge amount of selling pressure when these companies take on these convertible loan notes, you know. And there are different structures, many different structures. Many of them are not good to the share price, dilutive, and have downward pressure. So my square at the moment, but you know, 3.5 million market cap. They got almost pretty close to 2 million turnover this year, financial year. And they're looking at, they're saying they're brought a break even, and that's in June. So I'm thinking they've got about a million bucks left because they took out another convertible loan note. So altogether, about $3 million worth of convertible loan notes. They've got $1 million bucks left. And last few days, it's been very interesting. It's been really trying to rally. And all of a sudden, when it starts to rally, you can see these loan notes being converted and sold. And so at one point, it's like 18-19% up on Thursday, ended up flat. And the day before, it tried to rally, ended up flat. And this kept happening. So I said, I know, a little punch here. So I bought it, I think, just below 1.5 pence. Like that. And on Friday, it ended up like 36% up. But what you see is once these conversions, the last of these convertible loan notes are gone through and converted, and the share price flies because essentially they're hell. And it's happened recently with a couple of companies like Vast or Premier African Minerals. Because, you know, it starts to reflect true value of the company because all you've got, you get a little bit of a rally in the share price and the company starts converting shares and selling like crazy. So you've got, a natural amount of downward pressure on the share price, It's like a cold spring pushing down it all the time. And once that's, once that's cleared, it flies,
Yeah. But what if whoever it is that has the convertible loan note isn't selling? Does that not hang over the share price a bit? Because there's a potential it could be sold at any time at that lower price.
Well, they do sell generally because all they want is a quick buck. The faster they can return on their money, the better. They don't want to hang in there for ages, all these convertible loaners. They want to get 10-15% as soon as they can. So they will sell generally. And any liquidity in the share price, people start buying and then just sell into it, sell into it completely. So, so it's hard work. Is Steve in the toilet now?
Yeah, he sounds like that.
Yeah.
Are you in the toilet, Steve?
Okay.
Steve!
I'm trying my best not to touch the water.
What, Steve, what are you doing?
Steve, do you know?
Anyway, any right, thoughts? Okay. Let's look through the report for Pete. Have you been looking at the markets this week? I'll let Steve crack on.
Yes.
What have you been looking at?
A couple of things that were good for me anyway, and reassuring was the recovery now of Lloyds.
Yes.
Big hit after Brexit, and I felt that a bit in my portfolio. Didn't panic. I knew that the business case was there. I knew it would be only a matter of time. And it's nice to see that. And it's leading the way. All right, Steve?
God, he's not feeling
leading the way from the banks, isn't it? And the other banks had a lot of, HSBC particularly had bad final results. Whereas Lloyds has gone from strength to strength. And it's now pretty much back at where it was pre-Brexit vote. So, yes, that was reassuring, and I like that. That was my highlight of the week.
Yeah, 158% up their pre-tax profit to $4.24 billion. That's a bit of profit, isn't it? Wow.
And an extra special dividend, and, it's going up. And less PPI fine, money put away for PPI fines now. So,
I was saying on an earlier podcast in the week, surely they've found everyone in the world now. Yes. And now they're probably sending signals to different planets saying, is there anybody, are you an alien? Do you have PPI? Were you missold? If you can say PPI, call this number, you earn £3,000, we get some commission. And they scoured the globe for people. So that's nice. So HSBC bad, Lloyd's good. Barclays good, RBS bad, like 7 billion have lost, twice as much as last year. Ridiculous, nuts. I see it was nice actually. It's been a bit of a downward pressure on the People's Operator this week, but it had a nice bounce on Friday. Nicola Duke did say, come on, and she looked at the chart and she said, if this hangs in above 8 pence now, on Friday above 8 pence, then it could go back to a 200-day moving average around about sort of 13 pence, which is nice because it finished 8.5 pence. So that's nice. There's some nice late buyers going in there. And
another one that I bought this week, and I have to say, It was you brought my attention to it with your blog last weekend. I'm sure Steve read it as well. Savannah Petroleum.
Yes,
I bought a little bit of that.
Savannah Petroleum. Yeah, not to be confused. Yeah, not to be confused. What's that song that Erasure sang? What was that song?
Tell us about this, Pete.
What?
Stop.
Is Steve having a conversation with somebody else?
No, it's Erasure song.
Oh, there we are.
Oh, what's it called? Savannah, what's it called?
Blue Savannah.
Blue Savannah song. Have I ever told you about the time I remember I was watching Erasure. Did I tell you that?
No.
It was like, do you remember when, years ago, Top of the Pops, it's not on any longer, but Top of the Pops went through this crazy reinventing itself period of the shake. Tell Dave to shut up in the background. Reinventing itself. And Steve's just chatting to Dave. How rude. And they decided to go live to different venues, not keep her in the studio environment. And so it changed the format a bit. New producer come in, obviously a young upstart thinking, let's shake it up a bit. It led to the demise of Top of the Pops, but he shook it up. But so they did it. It was Erasure on tour. And they said, we're going to hook up live. We'll let Erasure just before their live gig in the, I think it was close to Hemel Hempstead or the Milton Keynes Bowl. That's what it was. The Milton Keynes Bowl, which is very similar in my mind to Hemel Hempstead, like a bland town. I apologise for anyone listening from there. But so they went to Erasure before their live gig, and Andy was there, the lead singer, singing away. And I was watching it. Ready, it was a Friday night. They even changed the day. I mean, Top of the Pops, remember that? It was a Friday night. I was watching it with a couple of mates at a friend's house. We're ready to go out for a Friday night drink. And he was singing away, and he was wearing these, cowboy dress, cowboy hat, and a denim sort of shirt. He was singing along, dancing, quite camp. And then the mid late came, where there's just a musical interlude during the song, And he turned round, and he had cowboy chaps on, and he had nothing on the backside, just a bare bum. And it was like, well, it's that comedy routine. I don't know who it is. It's either Eric and Ernie or something like that. Where there's a waiter comes up, takes an order, and he's got an apron on and stuff. Turns around, and he's got no pants and trousers on. He's just this bare backside. And he walks back to the kitchen, and it's like that. And we were all sitting there quite bored watching it, and literally all of us just burst out laughing our heads off, just by. And he was still doing his little dance, and his little bare bum cheeks were there, and obviously live on Top of the Pops. It's brand new, live, And so even the presenters were shocked by that. And I think that's where the format started to go downhill a bit. It was cracking. But he turned around, carry on singing, completely straight-faced. I thought, has someone not told him he's not wearing any pants? He's got his bare backside showing to the entire nation. He's wearing cowboy chaps and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat, and he's got no pants and trousers on. Surely, you can't be that. That's really absent-minded, isn't it? And I think, I think he may be senility, setting in dementia, setting in. And that's probably why Erasure went downhill from there, due to him having dressing issues. That's a cracking wardrobe malfunction, that was. It's just turned round his bum. That was like, because he held. That was a cracking comment. It's better than Eric and Ernie. I don't know who did it, but it's better than that because he literally didn't see it coming at all. He turned around. He says, "Just bum cheeks there, cracking." Anyway, Asia, I told you about Asia Met tonight. So last week we ended up. I sold a bit at 5.25p, and then I then got that chunk, split it in two, put a limit order at 5p, which has been filled. Another limit order at 4.5p, which is maybe filled. It's getting close to. I told you now. Whenever a share, isn't it psychology of shares is nuts, isn't it? When you believe that it can keep rising, it never does. When an RSI is overbought like that, it'll always settle down and come back, And if it's a good investment case, it's a chance to put in some more, but never get swept away with the crown and go nuts. Always calm down, relax, then it come back. I've never seen any share go straight up, Savannah Petroleum, yes. It's underplayed, I think we're at the stage now where, we've got 2.2 billion barrels resources. And I'm looking at even a 10% success rate, right, there is a material change on their share price. SAVP is the ticker. And yet the previous operators, where they are, in Agadir, in southeast Niger, or Niger. Is it Niger?
Niger.
Niger. Southeast Niger. Chinese National Operating Company, Chinese Petroleum Company, they had a 75% success rate of exploration drills. They drilled 124 wells there, and 93 they succeeded at uncovering almost close to a billion barrels of reserves, you know, not resources, reserves, which is better than obviously resources, but commercial. And so, you know, if you go on that rate, and they're about to drill three exploration wells this half, this year, they've got the money for it, they're fully funded. They are in talks, apparently, with farm out partners, so there could be someone could come in as well. But, you know, if you look at a 75% success rate of three wells, it's phenomenal, because I think altogether it's about 35 million barrels. One is one well potential. One is about 50 million, other one's about 40 million, something like that. But even if they just get one of those, you know, if they get one of those, 35 million barrels, it's a huge upside, because their market cap...
A couple of things you've mentioned in the blog that I think is always a good thing. The CEO's got a large stake in the company, which is always nice to see. And it's below placing price right now. So it's kind of like the buy signals, if you like, or whatever, for me anyway. It was just like, I think that's an interesting one to have a little punt on, and let's see.
Yeah, they're 31 and a quarter pence now. The placing price was 38 pence. They raised 40 million at that price. CEO Andy Knott has got just shy of 9%. And the other shareholders, some big chunky shareholders on the register, you know.
Yeah.
You know, some of the big guys around the world, so, you know, big institutions. And so, it, you know, Legal & General, I think Standard Life, Henderson's, you know, and so it's not many shares in float here. And we're coming into the action area now. I mean, they are a bit late on the announcing a drilling contract, but one would assume they've just had a lot of seismic data as well over that area, so a lot of seismic 2D, 3D, and previous drilling in this area, so it's very well known, very well mapped, and very well surveyed. But I'd suggest a delay, like I said in the blog. It's either down to the farming talks, because there's obviously negotiations, or maybe just looking at the seismic data, you know, and realigning a bit and saying, okay, this is where probably the best place to prospect the drill here. But I just think at the moment when it's quiet, this is the time to, you know, start looking at a company below placing price. They haven't released any material news for a little bit. They've announced they've acquired all the 3D seismic data last. But just before, you know, action time, you know what I'm saying? And if they do start drilling, it'll start rising on the hope, you know, on the action, the drill. But if they get success, then this is a serious re-rate. And I mean, even if they have one of those drills comes in, exploration there, I worked out about 360 million market cap, pretty much. I think dollars that is. So about 300 million they are at the moment, 82 million. So even on the one, and that's a 60th. 1/60th, if they get one there, that's 1/60th of their entire resource. So that's a fraction of what the upside potential here. So this is just a start, you know. So even working on very, very super conservative, you know, chance of success here, there's a chance of a material re-rate. So worth checking out SAVP if you haven't written the, if you haven't read the blog there, it's worth it. Steve, any thoughts on the week at all? Did you do anything stock-wise? Are you still there?
Say that again.
So this is why we have him on, you know, because always good input.
I had to unmute the phone because it was obviously too noisy, so I had to take my phone away to unmute it. So I missed your question.
You had to mute it? How do you know I was talking then?
No, mute my side, not your side.
Oh, okay.
It's stupid, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't put it past you, Steve. Have you had any thoughts on the week, Steve? Any thoughts on the stock market? Have you looked at anything? Have you seen any share prices? Anything at all?
Any thoughts at all?
It's pulled back a bit this week, hasn't it? It's been not as good, but that's thought of the week.
Thought of the week. Do you know what? You should get you on.
Anyway, I'm gonna have to go anyway because I'm just coming to an Indian restaurant. So.
Steve!
Standards, you know.
Have you been walking with your friend Dave along the road and everything?
No, I'm in an Indian restaurant now.
I know, but how far have you gone from the house? You went with...
Have a seat on the... It's three of you, isn't it? Yeah, have a seat on that one on the right.
Thank you.
Steve!
Have a barge.
Steve!
Yeah?
Steve!
Yeah?
Steve! Steve!
Yeah?
You're asking for two more seats. They got two mates on the podcast. Can you have two more seats for them? Just put a phone on it inside. Steve! Steve! Oh, I guess it. God, I'm feeling me angry now. I can't believe he's walking on the road, listening to us in one ear, and walking with his mate in the other ear. And just his mate saying, "What are you doing? I'm still on the podcast."
Oh, it's the alarm.
I'd say thank not God a second too early. Just... Yeah. And just in time for an Indian. Lovely. Right, Pete, thanks for that. Anyway, and...
Just, I think it was quite good, but Steve didn't really add that much this week, I thought.
Yeah, well, just the right amount of comedy value for Steve. And when I did ask him a question, but, sorry? Oh, he's gone. I just heard his... I just heard his Skype go boom! All right. Have a nice weekend. Who are you playing? Who's England playing rugby this weekend?
Italy. On Sunday.
Oh, yeah, easy. Easy there. We thrashed them, Wales.
Yeah, yeah, and we beat you.
How many lucky wins you've had so far?
They've all been wins. None of them have been lucky.
Okay.
Hey, Wales-Scotland, that's going to be a good one.
Yes, it is, because Scotland are looking quite tasty, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, that's it for the coffee.
What's going on here? Big man.
Right, is that Ramsey Nesbitt?
Yeah. Have a nice weekend, okay. Peter. And
well, we'll see you too.
Speak next week. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.